This is an audio summary for your AL80 101 course. The reading is Employing AI in Business, Chapter 6 of Artificial Intelligence for Business, written by Rajendra Akarkar and published in 2019. The chapter is about how organizations move from analytics maturity to working AI. Because it predates the generative AI era, this summary emphasizes what still holds in 2026 and points out where the tooling has been replaced. Here is the summary. The chapter opens with the analytics landscape. Akarkar's claim is that mature analytics is the on-ramp to AI. Organizations that already treat data as a strategic asset, that do data discovery, wrangling, preparation, and integration, are the ones for which AI is a natural progression. AI systems mature as they are fed more high-quality data, so investing in data storage and warehousing is part of aligning assets for AI. That argument is, if anything, more true in 2026. The companies that struggled to deploy generative AI were almost always the ones with weak data foundations. The terminology has moved on, though. Where Akarkar describes Hadoop, data lakes spanning SQL and NoSQL systems, flat files, and Excel sheets, the modern stack is the lakehouse, with formats like Delta and Iceberg, cloud warehouses like Snowflake, BigQuery, and Databricks, and a new layer he could not have foreseen. Vector databases for embedding retrieval, which feed retrieval augmented generation. He then maps four application areas for business analytics. Customer analytics covers profiling, segmentation, social network analysis, brand reputation, and customer experience. Supply chain analytics covers demand forecasting and the optimization of inventory, pricing, scheduling, transportation, and storage. Fraud and risk analytics covers market, operational, and credit risk, especially in finance. And public domain analytics covers things like detecting water leakage, smarter energy grids and traffic systems, and public safety. As a map of where analytics earns its keep, this has barely aged. The spine of the chapter is the three-layer maturity ladder: descriptive, predictive, prescriptive. Descriptive analytics uses data to understand what happened and what is happening, dashboards, standard reports, ad hoc queries, and drill downs. It categorizes and consolidates the past, but relies on human review and cannot say what comes next. Predictive analytics finds patterns in historical data and extrapolates them: data mining, pattern recognition and alerts, Monte Carlo simulation, forecasting, root cause analysis, and predictive modeling. His examples include flagging insurance claims that resemble past fraud, predicting churn, and identifying patients at risk of readmission. Prescriptive analytics then uses optimization, including stochastic optimization under uncertainty, to recommend the best action given objectives and constraints. This latter remains the standard way to explain analytics maturity to executives, and it is a useful structuring device for this week's infrastructure decision matrix. Does a candidate infrastructure support all three tiers or only reporting? The 2026 footnote is that generative AI added a fourth rung many practitioners now bolt on: systems that do not just recommend an action but draft or execute it, which is the territory of agentic AI. Akarkar also lists five business value lenses for analytics: information access, insight, foresight, business agility, and strategic alignment. These work nicely as criteria categories when you need to justify infrastructure spending in business terms rather than technical ones. The middle of the chapter is about embedding AI into business processes, and it contains the most durable heuristic in the book. Not every task suits AI. The tasks to automate first are those with repetition, high volume, a recognizable pattern, and a low cost of mistakes. That four-part screen predates and essentially anticipates what Andrew Ng later popularized about tasks suitable for machine learning, and it works just as well for choosing generative AI use cases today. Start where errors are cheap, volume is high, and patterns repeat. His implementation checklist follows: recognize the business problem, identify the data source, develop the AI solution, then implement, train staff, and keep humans available to intervene. Map that onto 2026 practice and you get the standard playbook, with one addition the chapter lacks: a formal evaluation and monitoring loop, what we now call MLOps or LLMOps, with model registries, evaluation pipelines, and governance frameworks like the NIST AI Risk Management Framework and ISO IEC 42001. AkerCar says businesses need robust controls and must monitor systems that learn. He is right, but he names the what without the how. The how arrived after he wrote, "One piece of the chapter you should actively discount." AkerCar advises that technology works best when invisible, that people should never know they are dealing with AI. That was conventional wisdom in 2019. Post ChatGPT, the dominant design pattern is the opposite, labeled AI surfaces, copilots, and assistants that announce themselves. And in several jurisdictions, disclosure is now a legal requirement, the EU AI Act being the clearest example. Invisible AI is not just outdated advice. In some markets, it is non-compliant advice. The final section, AI for growth, applies the ideas to customer service and marketing. Several points hold up well. Customers generate data faster than human-powered marketing can process, so AI closes a cognitive gap. Prefer algorithms that adapt to real-time data over batch processes that take days. Expect incomplete and messy customer data. And choose tools that produce best effort answers for the widest user base rather than perfect answers for a few clean records. Data silos are the main reason marketers fail to exploit customer data, and unification is the prize. All still true. The tooling answer in 2026 is customer data platforms and, increasingly, LLM-driven customer intelligence agents. One specific recommendation is now reversed. He suggests preferring boosted random forests over convolutional neural networks when training data is small. The modern answer to small data is a pre-trained foundation model used few-shot or zero-shot. You no longer trade away capability to cope with limited training data, though classical models like gradient-boosted trees do remain excellent for structured tabular problems. The chapter closes on infrastructure cost, data validity, oversight, and bias, warning that getting infrastructure in place can be expensive and that unintentional bias can creep into models, so businesses need controls and should communicate their oversight to stakeholders to build trust. For this week's assignment, note how much that understates 2026 reality. Frontier training runs now cost hundreds of millions of dollars, and even a mid-sized enterprise generative AI deployment carries real GPU and inference line items. Total cost of ownership and the unit economics of inference deserve explicit rows in your decision matrix. The chapter gestures at cost, but never quantifies the criteria. To summarize the keepers, analytics maturity as the precondition for AI, the descriptive predictive prescriptive ladder, the five value lenses, the repetition volume pattern low cost of mistake screen for use cases, and the people plus technology implementation checklist. The replacements, Hadoopera storage thinking gives way to lakehouses and vector databases. Invisible AI gives way to labeled and legally disclosed AI. Small data workarounds give way to foundation models. And vague calls for controls give way to named governance frameworks and ML ops practice. That is the end of the summary. Good luck with week 6.